tonight's show, we're going to start it off with none other than Les Guerra, who, you know, there's I would say, 59 people down in Juneau that I probably wouldn't want to introduce here tonight, and Les is the one guy that I'm psyched to have on the Arctic Entries stage. I once bumped into him on the landing strip in Arctic Village as they were heading out for a great wilderness excursion. So it's great to have you here tonight, Les. Take it away and kick off the show.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Emily. I promised I would make a plug, and this is the plug. After 15 years of public speaking, I'm still nervous as all get out when I do this stuff. And they have the hardest time finding people to do Arctic entry stories. So if any of you have a story, you can all do it. It's not that bad. And if things get really bad, your doctor will give you a thing called a beta blocker. But that's what doctors use when they do public speaking. So, you know, I grew up in New York City. I lived in Boston. My parents grew up in Baghdad. And they were Iraqi Jews, and they moved to New York City. And so I have this urban background, which makes me completely unfit to move to Alaska. I have no business being here. My people, if you've read the Old Testament, we wander, you know? But it's usually because we're lost or somebody's chasing us. We don't do it for fun, but up here, I've learned to do it for fun. And we don't fly fish. You don't see a lot of Iraqi Jews out there fly fishing, but somehow that's become my thing. And just to give you an understanding of the cultural divide that I've had to overcome, I'll give you a couple lines from my mother. Kelly and I, my wife who's here, we went on a lot of camping trips when we first moved up here, and we ran into a lot of bears. Nothing big, but we ran into a lot of bears, and I'd tell my mother. She'd say, "What'd you do this weekend?" And I'd tell her. And after that, every time I told her we were going camping on a trip, she would say, she'd say, "Leslie, I don't want you going to places where there are more bears than people," which basically disqualified any place we wanted to go. So at some point, she'd ask us what we were doing for the week, and I'd say, "Oh, we're going to go shopping." So, and the other thing, so you can understand our mindset, I took my mother down to the Kenai Peninsula once, and there was a moose swimming across the river, and I thought that was great. And so I pointed it out to her, and she gasped, and she said, "Oh my God, somebody's lost their animal. We have to get it back to them." I have no business being here, okay? Genetically, culturally. But, you know, I went from being sort of a city person to a fly fishing snob in about 5 years. And that's where I got my bad karma, which is what I'm going to talk about today. Kelly and I, we moved from the East Coast, and we started passing bigger and bigger mountains. And I'd look at them. And as a New Yorker, you have to do something all the time. So I'd look at the mountains and I'd go, "What the hell do people do up there?" And we kept driving and I'd see rivers coming out of the mountains and I think, you can fish. That's something to do. And I've become a fly fisherman ever since then. It took me about 5 years to go from city person to fly fishing snob. And just as an aside, this has nothing to do with the story. I am the holder of many Iraqi Jew in Alaska records. I just want you to know that. I am probably one of the top five Iraqi Jewish fly fishermen in the state, if not the best and the worst. One of the best Iraqi Jewish basketball players in the state. And I don't even play anymore, really. And everything I'm doing here today, this hand gesture, first time an Iraqi Jew ever did that in the state of Alaska. Well, the karma. In fly fishing, there are a lot of factions. There's the faction, the purest faction, that says the only legitimate fly fishing is to fish with an artificial fly that floats on the surface that makes a fish come up and take it off the surface. And they look down at anybody else who uses anything else. And there are others who say it's okay to let your fly sink, but you can't use weight. If you use lead weight to make your fly sink, then you're a loser. And there are all these factions that sort of hate each other. But the one thing we all agree on is with fly fishing, you're supposed to use something artificial that mimics something that fish eat. So it's got to be fake, and you cannot use bait. If you use bait as a fly fisherman, you go to hell. So I ended up joining one of these factions, and that's why I developed my bad karma. I was out fishing one day, and I saw this guy with like an $800 fly rod and like $7,000 worth of name brand gear, and he was fishing, and at the end of his rod was a bobber. And like, you know that bobber? This is a bobber. It's what you put on a Snoopy rod. You can do that with a rod that costs like $19. And so I said to one of my friends, I said, what was that? I was like, and he said, well, that was a strike indicator. I was like, well, look, with a bobber, when the bobber goes under the water, you know you have a fish on and you reel it in. And he said, well, this is a strike indicator. It's way different. And 39 cents, $2.99. And I said, well, what does a strike indicator do? He goes, oh, when it goes underwater, you know you have a fish on. And so I said, well, I am not doing that. Okay, I'll do that with a Snoopy rod, but I'm not doing that with my fly rod. At some point, kids with Snoopy rods and bobbers were catching way more fish than me. And I decided I would join the bobber crowd, and sometimes I fish with one now. And that should give you bad karma to have made fun of somebody who was having fun. And so this is where I got my comeuppance. Kelly and I went to Peru a few years ago, and I had read up on it, and I had learned that there was a stream near a lodge that we were staying at for $80 a night that had trout in it. And so I brought my fly rod down there, and I thought, well, I'll just get the flies. I don't know what kind of flies to use down there. And we get down there, and they send me to the sporting guy, the guy who takes you hiking or fishing or whatever. And I said, well, you know, I want to catch trout. I've got my fly rod, but I don't know what kind of flies to use. And he goes, flies. No understand flies. And I said, well, I have a fly rod, and I cast it, and I don't know what kind of flies to use. He goes, ah. And so he leaves, and he's gone for like 5 minutes, and he comes back, and he's got a bucket in his hand. And in the bucket is about 5 pounds worth of chicken chunks. And I know that if I fly fish with 5 pounds worth of chicken chunks, I'm going to hell. Right, it's the one rule you don't violate. So I looked at it. I took the bucket of chicken chunks, and I went out there and I started fly casting with chicken. And the bad news is I am going to hell. But the good news is I do believe to this day I'm the first Iraqi Jew ever to go from the state of Alaska down to Peru to fish with chunks of chicken on his fly rod. So.